Okay. Listening is the key, isn't it, to building a good and healthy relationship. Listening well is so important. But how do I listen to God? Yes, I know the Bible gives me all the information I need about him. But how do I hear his voice to me today? Since we were created to live near God, in a personal relationship with him, I really do need to know him well and to listen well. But how? How do I know what he's saying to me today? What is it about him that is particularly relevant to my life today? What does he want me to hear? It is a critically important question for every Christian. But the trouble is, isn't it, we live such busy lives. We've become experts at skimming through Facebook or Instagram posts. We have news feeds on our phones because we don't have time to read the full articles. We send family members a quick message and stick an emoji on the end, hoping that it'll make it personal somehow. If we open our Bibles at all, we probably do a quick read of a few verses. We skim through, say a couple of prayers in the hope that something will sink in, that God will somehow be with us through the day. Even atheists know the value and the benefits of slowing down. The rise in popularity of mindfulness speaks to that, doesn't it? Except, of course, it's not mindfulness. It's actually mind emptiness. Because mindfulness is just me and my breathing. It's a lonely thing. And for some people, it's actually quite disorientating. But our personal, loving, close by Lord God urges us to slow down, turn our thoughts upwards, and enjoy him and fill our minds and our hearts with him and his word. To enjoy listening to the one who knows us better than we know ourselves and who arranges all the circumstances of our lives is a wonderful privilege. If only we knew him better, then we could trust him more. And that would quieten our fears. If only I slowed down to acknowledge that the majestic Lord of all creation is truly close to me, what a difference that would make in a pressured life. So perhaps on a wet Sunday afternoon, or when there's only rubbish on TV, so that's six nights a week, you decide to take half an hour to sit down and quietly open your Bible and listen to God. Or if you're not a great reader, you go to BibleGateway.com and listen to David Suchet reading the Bible to you. And you turn to Luke chapter 8. And perhaps it would be helpful if you did that now, either on your phone or your Bible. And you read it through once. Well, we've done that already here in church. We've heard it read to us. And you notice there's something of a theme here. I hope you noticed that. Phil encouraged you to look for it. There's something here, isn't there, about how we respond to God's word. So having seen that, you go back and read it again more slowly. A large crowd gathered round Jesus. Why? Well, perhaps it was because they wanted to be entertained by more miracles. Perhaps it was to hear what he had to say. Whatever the reason, Jesus tells them a story about a farmer sowing seed. Then he calls out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." But no one does seem able to hear. At least the disciples come, though, and ask what the parable means. And Jesus says to the disciples in verse 10, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not hear, they may not understand. So you pause for a moment and you wonder, what does this mean? What is Jesus saying here? Well, surely one of the first things here is to admit that listening well to God is something I don't do naturally. Understanding God is something that doesn't come naturally to me. I need to ask for help. That's what the disciples did, and Jesus responded to their request. Jesus says that the knowledge of God's kingdom is hidden until he reveals it. None of us naturally understands and hears God's word. Oh yes, we may hear the literal words. We may see the parable in our mind's eye, but we don't understand the meaning or significance. And so in your reading, you just stop for a moment. And you turn to God and say, Lord, help me. Help me to understand what I'm reading here. Help me to understand what Jesus is saying so that I can respond to you. And you read on. You read on slowly, not skimming, but thinking, listening carefully as Jesus explains the meaning of the parable to the disciples. And what's first clear is that God's word is readily available, isn't it? It's like seed scattered all over the place, landing on all sorts of different ground. And perhaps you realize that Jesus is asking you a question here. What kind of ground is your heart as you read the Bible? And perhaps the truth is, you haven't really been listening to God very much at all. You reflect on how privileged you are. God's word has been sown all around you. It's on your bookshelf, it's beside your bed, it's on your Kindle, it's on your phone, it's on your laptop, it's at spa group, it's in church on Sunday mornings. God's word is all around you. And you ask yourself, you ask the Lord, what kind of ground is my heart? Am I like the path, a concrete path, a tarmac path, hard and unreceptive to the word? Well, no, that's not right, is it? I do believe. I know that Jesus has saved me. I am his. But Lord, I pray for my family who don't know you. Please soften their hearts so that they might believe and be saved. What then about this thin soil, Lord, the rocky ground? Am I perhaps like that, Lord? Sometimes it seems that way. Sometimes I've heard a sermon and been really enthusiastic about it, but my enthusiasm didn't last when life became hard. My roots didn't really go deep. And yet I do still believe. I haven't withered and died completely, so thank you, Lord, for that. And please help those at church who are hearing about you, maybe for the first time, to put down deep roots, to have the depth of faith and understanding to persevere even when life is tough. And then, Father, sometimes it feels as if my heart is like the thorny soil. I do get distracted and overwhelmed by the stresses and pressures of life, work, school, family, coronavirus, and yes, silly things like the TV and my phone and trying to look good and trying to impress people. Just so much. And I'm sorry, Lord, I know that those thorns are at times strangling my life with you. And I want to mature. I want to hear your word. I want to grow up with you. So thank you for this opportunity now to sit with you and listen. Please would you make this a springboard to new growth and maturity, because I would love to be one of those with a noble and good heart. I'd love to be good soil, Lord. I'd love to hear and retain your word in such a way as I persevere and produce a good crop of love and service for you, for your church, for your mission, for your glory. You see, it's a familiar parable, isn't it, to most of us? And it is so easy to skim through it and I think, I know that. But when we slow down, when we read it in the presence of the Lord, responding to him, talking to him, then we begin to really hear what he is saying to us. And we respond to him personally. But just in case we've not really taken on board the importance of being good soil, of hearing God's word, of having noble and good hearts, as Jesus says, Jesus really ups the ante in verse 16. No one lights a lamp and hides it in a jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light, for there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Lord, what are you saying here to me? Is it about shining my light out into the world like a lamp on a table? No, it's more than that, isn't it? Because the day when everything will be disclosed is the day when Jesus returns. That's the day when you will put everybody's life on display, when you will examine my whole life, every thought, every word, every action. So Jesus says, consider carefully how you listen. Well, that's what he's really concerned about, isn't it, here? How do you listen and respond to God's word? That's the basis of final judgment. So no wonder Jesus urges us to think carefully about how we listen. Lord, I know that I haven't always listened carefully to you. Too often I've thought that a sermon or a spa group or a reading applies to everybody else, but not me. Sometimes I've just brushed it off as too difficult or postponed it because it's too hard, and I never get round to really responding at all. Father, forgive me. Help me to listen more carefully. Thank you that you have given me an understanding of yourself and your Son. Please, Father, give me a deeper understanding. But what will it mean if I do listen carefully? What will it mean to be given more and more awareness of an appreciation of you? That's the point in verses 19 to 21, isn't it? And this is the point that those who don't understand cannot understand and actually react against. Now, Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. Someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside waiting to see you." Jesus replied, "My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice." Who are Jesus' true family members? Who does he allow to really come close to him? "My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice." Oh yes, we can fill our heads with Bible knowledge, but never allow it to affect our hearts and lives. Never put it into practice. Never respond to Jesus personally. Refuse to face up to our sin. Refuse to change our ways. We can come to church for years and years and years and hear God's word read and explained, but never put it into practice in heartfelt worship and prayer and evangelism and service for God and his church. But on the other hand, we've all met, haven't we, those who are clearly imitating Jesus. Those are who are his mother and brothers. We can see that in their lives. They're the ones who hear God's word and put it into practice. Father, thank you for my brothers and sisters in Christ who demonstrate that they are Jesus' brothers and sisters by putting your words into practice. Thank you for their example to me. Please help them when obedience is hard. Give them perseverance. Give them noble and good hearts to keep growing and maturing in love for you. And Father, thank you for Jesus himself, that he did everything you asked of him in humble obedience, even when that meant walking the hardest of all roads of suffering and death. But Father, how can I follow Jesus and my godly friends in such obedience? Well, as I read this, I see that the only way I can do that, Father, is to hear and listen carefully to what you're saying to me, and then to put it into practice, having taken time to think it through, to ponder it and consider it carefully, as Jesus said. Father, help me to reflect on what you say to me in the Bible. Help me to take time to talk it through with you, asking for understanding. And then, Father, show me more of yourself. Draw me closer to yourself and your own heart, so that I know your will and I have the desire to put it into practice. Help me to be one of those who demonstrates clearly that I am a brother, a sister of Jesus. And then when everything is disclosed on the last day, may it be clear that I have listened carefully to you and put your word into practice. Father, thank you for this time we've spent with you even now. Thank you that you have brought us near to yourself, to a place where we can hear your voice in your word, that you hear our prayer for understanding. Please make our hearts noble and good, ready and willing to persevere, to mature and produce a good crop of love and service as we listen carefully to your word to us today. Amen.